Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
John's Gospel, chapter 15, and I'll begin reading with verse number 1. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, my words abide in you. Ye ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." May God add blessings to the reading of his word this morning. When we finished the 14th chapter of John in verse 31, Jesus tells his disciples that they are about to leave the upper room, that they have shared the Passover meal there, and they are going to the Garden of Gethsemane. They're going there where Jesus will pray his great priestly prayer, and they will later come to arrest him. The mob will be led by Judas Iscariot. But in the meantime, Jesus speaks the words which comprise chapters 15 and 16 while they are on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane. As they walked toward the garden, Jesus began to talk to his men about vines, about vine dressers, and about fruit. Why? Why vines? Well, there could be several possibilities. No doubt they would have passed the temple, and the temple had vines carved into the doors and into the areas around it. They would have passed the golden gate of the city of Jerusalem, which also had gorgeous gray engravings of vines and grape clusters. And of course, it was spring of the year, and that meant that grapevines were blossoming, and there was a promise of a great and a fresh harvest. And as Jesus talked with his disciples, perhaps he reached out and he took hold of a grapevine. And with it, he used it to teach an object lesson to these people. It's also very possible that Jesus was teaching an even more profound message. You see, in the Old Testament, Israel was represented by the vine. Psalms chapter 80, verses 8 and 10, along with Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, are some examples of that text where God uses the vine to describe the nation of Israel. But this vine, it had not lived up to its intended purpose. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 21 and Hosea chapter 10, verse 1 describe how disappointed God was in Israel not holding up to their intended purpose as the vine of Christ, as the vine of God. So God sends His Son, Jesus. He sends him to be the true vine, the honest-to-goodness true vine from heaven. What Israel had failed to do, Jesus would accomplish. Whatever prompted the teaching, It's clear that his desire was to teach us about the most vital relationship that exists in humanity, the one between Jesus and the Father and ourselves in Jesus Christ. So we may ask, why did Jesus wait until this point in time to give this message, to give this teaching? Because this is when Jesus knew they needed it. Just like in our work through the Gospel of John, we arrive here today not by luck, not by chance, but we are here by divine appointment. You are here this morning hearing this message by divine appointment. God knew that you were going to be here today. God knew and by arrangement had this designed and laid out this way. These words are for you and I this morning. They are for us to continue the work that Jesus established in his men here, these 11. You see, if they were to carry out the work of the Lord, they needed to know how to produce fruit in their lives. He wanted them to know that the only way they could be fruitful for the glory of God was to abide in him. Those are some very important words, and we're going to hear them over and over this morning. Abide in him. Abide in me. The true vine. Today, some 2,000 years removed from what we've just read, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ continues. God is still working through the followers of Jesus Christ. He's still working and calling us and empowering us and gifting us to accomplish his work in the world today. Born-again Christians often wonder how we're supposed to do the work of the Lord. How can we produce that kind of fruit? How can I produce it? How can you produce it? I hear often from folks, but Pastor, how? Just this week I was talking with an inmate. He is in the process of a 52-year sentence. And he was talking to me about how God was using him inside of the prison. And he talked with me about the struggles that he had with that, with wrapping his heart around that when he got there. And when he got his life right with God, and his thought was the only way that he could be beneficial to God was if he was released and he could be out in the churches and out into the sanctuaries and everything like that. And then God revealed to him that right where he was where he could serve by abiding in him. Where you are today in your life, where you are in your walk with the Lord, is where the Lord can use you and where he wants to use you. But understand this, just because that's where you start, that does not mean it's where you're going to stay. We're going to see that a little clearer as we get into the message. But for today, I want to share with you a few simple lessons that we can learn from the Lord Jesus Christ regarding being the Lord's fruit. First, we need to understand there's a relationship that's found in these passages. In verse number 2, we see the phrase, in me. Now, if we come down through this passage, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times the Lord uses that phrase, in me. He is telling us that he's speaking to people who are in a vital relationship with him. These are not folks who know about Jesus. These are not folks who have heard Jesus. These are not folks who just haphazardly and at a distance follow Jesus. These are folks who love Him. These are folks who belong to Him. These are folks that follow Him. These are His disciples. And this morning, it's important for you to ask yourself the question, can you say that Jesus is in you? When He says, every branch in me, abide in me. And those that don't abide in me, if ye abide in me. Does Jesus abide in you this morning, and do you abide in Him? It's important because it establishes the level and the depth of the relationship that we have with Him versus the depth and the level of the relationship that He wants us to have. It's not something that we grow into. It's not something we develop. It's something that He calls us into, and we are submissive to it or not. This is not something that, well, over time I'll just develop and I'll grow and I'll learn and things will happen. Holy Spirit conviction, Holy Ghost conviction upon our lives that tells us that God has something in store, something more for me, and He wants us to submit to Him and get closer to Him and turn ourselves over to Him so that we can be the branches off of the vine. And the only way we make that connection is in Him. Are we in Him this morning? How does someone get to be in Jesus? Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if we'll confess with our heart, with our mouth, and believe in our heart that God has raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. Believe. We believe. We need to believe in Jesus today. There's a lot of people who believe in religion. There's a lot of people that believe in church. There's a lot of people who are moral and they believe in those morals. There's a lot of people who are upstanding in the community and upstanding in a lot of areas and they believe in that. But that doesn't mean that they are in Jesus. That doesn't mean Jesus is in them. Have we confessed our sin to Him? Have we turned our lives over to Him? We can serve the church as a established organization. We can serve Jesus. If we serve Jesus, then we're going to be part of the body of Christ, and that will be the focus of the church. Just because we are part of the church membership, our name is written on the roll. Maybe we have jobs, maybe we have titles, maybe we have this, maybe we have that. Is our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life this morning? Are we saved by grace through faith in Jesus and Jesus alone? And are we committed to Him? Are we abiding in Him, and is He abiding in us? Is it about Jesus today, or is it all about something else? We can't have it both ways. We can't have it both ways. We have to have that relationship with Jesus Christ, and it has to be a proper relationship, and it has to be a relationship based on God's Word. Well, not only then do we have a relationship, but next we have to reproduce that relationship. The vine has one distinct purpose, and that's bearing fruit. If you notice, the vine itself does not bear the fruit. It delegates it to the branches. If Jesus is the vine, we are the branches, we are to bear fruit. We are to understand that. Before we get any deeper into, well, what is fruit? What does the fruit mean? What does it? Understand this. It is my job to bear fruit. It is your job to bear fruit if you're saved this morning. If we go out and if we look at a vine, at a tree today, it's spring of the year. A lot of things are in bloom. If you look at the very end where the bloom is hanging, it is on the end of a very small limb or a very small branch. And that branch goes back to a larger one or to a vine. In this case, a vine, where that branch comes from. If there's no connection between the branch and the vine, there's no life. And if there's no life, there's no fruit. If we're not bearing fruit today, we better be concerned about our connection. We better be concerned about how we are grafted or not into that vine. Are we grafted into Jesus this morning? Are we connected with Him? If we are, we should be bearing fruit. We should be living a life that shows people who Jesus Christ really is. We should be living a life that shows people how important Jesus Christ is. We should be living a life that points to Him and lifts Him up and glorifies Him. If we do that, we're going to be glorifying our church. We're going to be lifting up our congregation. We're going to be lifting up one another. We're going to be supporting one another in fellowship and in worship. If we are lifting up Jesus Christ and we are where He wants us to be and we are doing what He wants us to be doing, we're going to be in a fellowship with Him and we're going to be in a fellowship with one another that's going to be glorifying to God. We're going to be bearing fruit. Does our lives glorify God? Does what we do in our lives glorify God? That's fruit. Often, and there is an application for it of taking our Bibles and going door to door and soul winning, and that's what it used to be called anyway. There's a place for that. And there is a application of bearing fruit. But understand this. You can get the biggest, heaviest Bible that has the greatest readership volume, whether it's by translation or whatever. You can invest that. You can invest your money into that. You can read it. You can memorize it. You can learn it. You can quote it. You can go down the Romans road of salvation. You can go down the ABCs of salvation. Whatever works for you. And you can go out and you can visit person after person after person after person. And you may lead them to religion, but if you're not abiding in Christ, if you do not have that relationship that can be reproduced in your life by testimony, by Holy Ghost conviction, you're not going to lead anyone to salvation because you don't have it. You're not connected. You don't have that branch. You're not the branch that's connected to the vine. That has to be in its place in your life. You have to be grafted into Jesus Christ before you can give testimony of who He is and before you can lead others to who He is. It's not an academic thing. Salvation is not academic. Salvation is not coming and it's not repeating something that someone says. Salvation is about giving your heart over to Jesus Christ in belief. I believe. I believe. I believe. That's the fruit. That is the reproducing of the fruit. Jesus wanted His disciples to understand this. He wanted them to grasp it, not just mentally, not just academically. He wanted them to grasp it with His heart. This morning, He wants us to grasp it with our heart. Because unless we grasp it with our heart, we can't connect with Him. We can't be in Him, and He can't be in us unless it is by the heart. That's where we go with it. That's why it's reproducible. Because it's reproducible when we have the opportunity to share with other people what that relationship is in our life and what that relationship means in our life. How important Jesus Christ is in our life. And it is, listen, He brought me from where I was to where I am through His blood. That was what myself and some friends of mine that I met in town yesterday. I had this conversation with several of them. We were talking about high school. We were talking about junior high school. And we were going back into that. Yes, back in the day, it was called junior high school. I know it's middle school now. We were talking about all of that. And we were going back over those years and how God had been so good to us. Not deserving anything. How ugly and vile our lives were before we met Jesus. And the change He made. The importance of His words. New life. New creature. Born again. The importance of what those are in our lives and in the lives of others, and how important it was for the circumstances that we were in yesterday, that we had our lives right and we were in tune and we were part of this graft into Jesus Christ so that folks could see Him and not us. So that folks could see who He was. How wonderful He was. How terrific. What a Savior He is. How powerful the blood is. Yes, there's a lesson of reproduction. There's also a responsibility. We too often find ourselves drawing back when we have spent X amount of time in church. Maybe we've had personal failures. Maybe we just get comfortable. Maybe we just get complacent. Maybe it comes to the point of saying, well, I got mine. Let somebody else get theirs. It's too difficult. There's too much of a struggle. It just takes too much time. Folks, when we look at a tree, or a vine. When we look at whether it's an apple tree, or pear tree, or grapevine, they don't struggle to produce fruit. It just happens. We can't make things happen between others and Christ. We can't make folks listen. We can't make folks do anything. But we do have a responsibility of just letting it happen in our life. And let me let you in on something that came to me as I was studying this. When you go into an apple orchard and you look at an apple tree and you look at all the trees that are there, well, you go up to this tree and you look at this apple. It's nice. It's a good-sized apple, but it's got spots and blemishes all over the peeling. Well, okay, they're all like this on this tree, so you take one of those apples. You put it in a bag, and you go down a few more trees. You find another apple. No, this is a real pretty, shiny apple. A little larger. Much nicer looking on the outside. You pull that apple. Well, when you take those apples home and when you put them down beside of one another, you're going to see one that looks very appealing to the eye, one that's very beautiful and pretty. You're going to see one that's not so pretty, maybe not quite as big, not quite as plump. But you know what? When you take your knife out of the drawer and you peel that apple, you throw those peelings away, the fruit is just as sweet. The fruit is just as tasty. It's just as nutritious. What's on that outside gets thrown away. when we're saved, when we're born again. This old corrupt peeling that's on the outside, it gets taken off, and the fruit that's on the inside becomes sweet, and it becomes what God wants it to be. And a responsibility that we have is to let that naturally grow and flow from our lives and from our hearts, and let it be reproducible in those that are around us. Do we abide in Jesus? Does Jesus abide in us? If so, then it's going to flow naturally. Some of us may be a little coarser on the outside than others. Some of us may not have developed as fully as others. But the fruit that's on the inside is still the fruit of the Spirit that God has placed in the life of the believer, and it is a responsibility on ours not to hinder its growth, but to let God have His way in our lives and let that be reproduced in front of others that need Jesus. Need Him. And last this morning, there's a lesson about reality. We see that in every branch that beareth not fruit is taken away. Now, I want you to understand something this morning. When Jesus says every branch that doesn't bear fruit, every life that doesn't bear fruit, He's not talking about a decision that you make or a decision that I make. He's talking about those that are grafted into the vine. If you go out here on one of these fruit trees that are in bloom right now, and if you cut one of the branches off that has that bloom on it, it's no longer connected. It's no longer grafted. And if you just set it down and watch it, within a day or so, the flower will have shriveled and it will fall off. And it's good for nothing but to throw away, throw into the fire. Jesus is talking about the reality of people that are saved and people that are unsaved. Reality is that folks can talk the talk. They can learn the vocabulary of the church. They can learn the theology and the doctrine, and they can talk about it, and they can exclaim it, and they can talk about their past experiences, and they can talk about their time and their investments. But in reality, if they have never invested by believing in Jesus Christ and being grafted into Him as a believer, they do not have that connection. And they're dying. And they'll be taken away. And they'll be burned. It's a picture of hell. It's a picture of hell. Verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it will bring forth more fruit. Either we're in Christ and we're bearing fruit, or we're not. Now, here's something else about the reality of this message. If you're bearing fruit, don't think this is as good as it gets. Because look at the rest of verse number 2. Every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it. It gets trimmed. It gets pruned. If you take a tree that's producing apples, this year you harvest your apples. If you prune it and let it grow back and let it come out next year, it will give better fruit, more fruit. If we're serving the Lord and we're following Him and we're doing what God wants us to do, that's great. He loves it, but there's going to be a pruning in our lives. God's going to be looking at some of the things in our lives that aren't quite what He wants. And He's going to start pruning them away. He's going to start making some changes. He's going to start making some adjustments. He's going to start removing some things in our life. Are you willing today to sit back and watch God make changes in your life and still be obedient and follow Him? Because that's what He will do. A lot of times Christians are good with following God until God starts making changes in their life. And then they say, wait a minute now, this is not what I thought, this is not what I wanted. I don't agree with this, I don't want this. If I can't have my say in it, I'll just sit down and I won't do anything. We're saved, we're in Jesus, and Jesus is in us. And it is He that we serve. Now that sounded real good at the first of the message. That sounded really interesting at the first of the message. But now it's got down to the point of, wait a minute now, you've got this down to where it's personal between me and God, and God's going to make changes. It's not that God can make changes or God may make changes. God will make changes. That verse 2 is very clear. If you bear fruit, He purgeth it, comma, that it may bring forth more fruit. Where we're at today is just the beginning for where God wants us to be at tomorrow. Those changes will happen. God will purge, God will prune in our lives. Change is something that most folks naturally push back at. It's something that most folks just naturally say, not me, not me. They don't like change. We don't like change. We like things just the way it is. We like to be creatures of habit. What I do today, I want it to be exactly what I done yesterday so that it can be exactly what I do tomorrow. God says, okay, but what if I move you and put you in another situation tomorrow? What if I take away something out of your life and totally change your life? What if I remove part of your income? What if I change or remove something that you cling to closely? What if I'm wanting you closer to me, and in order to get you closer to me, I have to remove you from something else and get something else out of your life? In order to get us to come closer to Him. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to let God have His way in our life? Because if we're not, and we're saved and we have Christ in us, and we're in Christ, and we start pushing back, then we become like Israel. We become that vine that was unproductive. We become that vine that was unuseful. We become that vine just like Israel was that vine that was set apart to do God's work, but it disappointed God because Israel went their own way. We wind up being in that spot as well. Then we wind up being a vine or a branch may have some real pretty leaves. A branch that may be tender, may blossom every year and grow every year, but it won't produce any fruit. Have you ever seen that? We have a fruit tree at the house. It's a pear tree or it's an apple tree. We really don't know. It's a big tree. Every year it will get little green pieces of fruit on it that will last just for a few weeks and they'll die and fall off. Beautiful green leaves. beautiful size to it, but it don't produce any fruit. Is that going to be our lives spiritually? Will our lives produce the fruit that Christ wants them to produce? Are we going to be properly grafted into the vine? Are we going to be so grafted into that vine that Christ is obvious and apparent in our lives just because of His presence and just because of that grafting where He works through us? Is it going to be that obvious? That's what He wanted in His disciples. That's what He wants in you and I. He doesn't want a loss of fellowship between us and Him. Not salvation, but fellowship. He doesn't want a loss of vitality. He doesn't want us withering and drying up. He wants us to stay fresh. He wants us to be able to be submissive to His will and to His work. He wants us to enjoy His power and His authority in and through our lives. He doesn't want us to experience a loss of any reward. He wants us to be able to stand before Christ and hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." He wants us to be that people. He wants us to be that body of Christ. He wants you and I to be at that place in our life. Verse 6 tells us that there is a casting away of those who fail. And He doesn't want us to be that. He doesn't want us to be like that. He wants us to be the ones that are successful. He wants us to be the ones that are submissive. He wants us to be the ones that He blesses, the ones that bear fruit, the ones that bear the glory of God, the ones that show Jesus Christ to those around us, the ones that lift up Christ and put Him upon a pedestal, the ones that show Jesus Christ to these that are out here in the lost and in the dying world. He wants us to be the ones that have fellowship with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ, and likewise have fellowship with one another because of that. That's what He wants in our life this morning. How about you? Are you abiding in Him? Are you abiding in the vine? Are you abiding in Jesus Christ today? Is He abiding in your heart? As we think about that and close this morning, I'd like to ask our song leaders if they would come and prepare a hymn of invitation for us. If we take the opportunity this morning, if we consider ourselves, our life, and we could look at verses 1 through 8 of chapter 15, we see in there twice Jesus says, "I am," in verse 1 and verse 5. And then we see five times in that passage Jesus says, "In me." Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman." Jesus is the one that we gain our life from. And it is God, the Father, who does the pruning. The husbandman is the one that takes care of the vineyard. The husbandman is the farmer, the one that prunes and takes care of the vines and of the crops, of the fruit. Jesus is the "I am" that is in our life as a born-again Christian. If we know we're saved this morning, we have to accept the fact that He is in us and we are in Him. And we are a product of his new birth. And as such, we will bear fruit. If we don't bear fruit, then we will face the consequences of being rejecting, pushing back. If we do bear fruit, we have to understand that he's going to be doing work in our lives. And that work sometimes will be painful. That work sometimes will be confusing. That work sometimes will have us look beyond ourselves, strictly to him. Lean on him. Trust him, because he will be the ones cutting and purging and pruning in our lives to get us to bearing the fruit that he wants us to bear, when and where he wants us to bear it. This morning, is that your life? Are you bearing the Lord's fruit? Are you willing to be submissive and obedient to his work in your life to continue bearing that fruit? If you're not today, then it's because you're not saved. And I want you to know this altar is open and the opportunity for you to receive Jesus is here. If you are saved today, maybe you realize you have been pushing back and rejecting some of God's purging and pruning in your life. Not really understanding why, just pushing it back. You now know why that's taking place. Maybe you'd like to come this morning and you'd just like to turn yourself over to Jesus. You'd like to tell him, Lord, I'm sorry that I've pushed back. You purge and you prune away, and I'll follow you in whatever route you place my life. Maybe you have other needs this morning that God has shown. Whatever those may be, this altar is open. Come, do business with God. So this morning, if God's dealing with your heart as we sing, will you come?